not in the contract. Not in the contract. So let's see what it's. So let's see what it says. Tashlum pitsuyim, which means a severance package. Kishem maftirim oyved, when a worker is dismissed. B'sefer achinuch chasam levar shavish mitzvah hanukas evedivri. We have a halach in the Torah called hanukah for evedivri. Evedivri works for 6 years and then he is released. He is released from his. He is released. So the master has to give him hanukah leman. Nikne binafshe, the reason why the Sefer Achinuch Kedarkoi tells us the Ta'anei HaMitzvahs. Okay, that's a nice thing to learn. Minchas Chinuch is one of many. That's more the longest approach to the Chinuch. The last number of years, a lot of Svarim have come out on. I was thinking about it. We should spend some time learning the Chinuch. I have to collect all of the Svarim that have come out on the Chinuch. An article did. They just finished very recently. If you look at the papers, very recently they finished.
Library table book, Karyag Mitzvahs is called.
A little bit of a flavor of all the mitzvahs. Okay, the midrash there are a number of svarim that have come out, but it's not so easy. It's a lot harder than you think. Okay, whatever it is. But in Sefer Achinuch he discusses the nature of the mitzvah. What a beautiful expression! A person should attain good character, good midos. And that the neshama, the whole, the precious neshama should be zoicha to goodness, and Hashem, who is good, desires lehitiv la'amo, wanted to do good to his nation, v'hodanu v'hidranu, who Hashem has guided us, he has guided us, those two words which mean v'hodanu v'hadranu, I'm not sure what they mean, hodar. Hashem has given hoid v'hodar, hoidnu v'hodarnu, hoid v'hodar. Who shenirachim al misha avar oisanu? You shall have compassion upon a person who has served us. V'nitin loy mishalonu b'toras chesed milvad. In addition to paying him his salary, we also should give du chesed. V'dover muskal hu. It's something which is self-understood, and there is no need to be marich. And therefore, the Torah says, when a slave works for you for 6 years, when he goes out, and you have to give him a very nice severance package. It applies to males and females, whether you have a woman who works for you for 6 years. Rak, bizman, habayis. Only during the time when there is a Beis Hamikdash, mishum, for simple practical reasons, mishum she'ein din eved every noig, el bezman she'ayoyvel noig. There is a halacha that a din of an eved every work for 6 years, and he goes out in the 7th, he only applies when the Beis Hamikdash, when there's yoyvel. Umikol makom, abezman hazeh. So here is where he comes in to say some very interesting chidushim. We learn from this mitzvah what the Torah wants from us, a moral duty. And therefore, v'gam b'zma'af b'zman hazeh yishma chocham v'yosef lekach. Okay, it's on the small page. Okay, on the page that's half empty. Yishma lekach shim sochar echad b'bnei yishol v'avdoi zman merubo. Oy afilu mu'at, sheyanik loy b'tseso me'imo me'asher berchu Hashem. A person should give a gift, a substantial gift to your worker when he is dismissed, or when he quits, or when he retires. Al Yisoy Divrei Achinuch Kasav Bishut Even Shoyam Lahatzadik Lahatzdik Al Shenitnu Yad Hu Ubeistinoi Loses Mikupa Shel Tzdoko Shel Chevra Speaker Cholim L'Shamish Achevra Shlohoye Beavshuruso Lihimoshech Bavoidoso Tzach Sholosh Meos Rubel Kesef Mishum Sheyesh Bezegam Chiv Hanaga Ma'iz Shohoye Kachoye. There was a Biker Cholim, and the Biker Cholim there was a Biker Cholim. There was some type of fund, and they gave out money to people who needed it, and there was a shamash. There was an administrator, and the administrator served this Biker Cholim his entire life, and now it came time to retire, and they passed him that they should give from the money of the Biker Cholim 300 ruble to the administrator as hanaka. The chain b'shut machzeh Ephraim cost. Another example: she cost of shadam chashav chayiv linhay lefnim shor sadin v'losayes ezes skum lepoil sheyotza. Now that word is from nipple. It means from his work, whatever job he had. Mehaf
Fabrik, a factory.
Factory, okay. V'chein im ha-fabrik. Shaykh l'rabim, aleim l'inag l'fnim shur sadin, shadin rabim k'din talmud chacham, k'mavur b'kesef mishnah, u'v'shut ha-ramatz. I don't know who the ramatz is. U'v'shut min chasid tzagdan al tashlo pitzuyim l'oyveid shemaftidim oiso. Also discusses severance package. L'chasav, sheb'eret yishol, nagu habei ha-bot edinim. L'v'soik ha-naka mitam shekvar niskabel nikein bein ha-soichrim. It's an accepted practice in society, and therefore Bezdin can enforce, can demand that an employer pay severance. U'mikamak ein ha-minig v'eritzol kavua b'chol oyla v'heichan sh'nagu nagu. V'din sham al-oifen sh'oivet hu chasar harbei me'avoida. Mach mascholi. The din over there is in the case where the worker cannot chosahame avoid the machmas choli im yesh loses loy pitzuyim. Okay, so there the discussion is what happens when he's sick. The reason why he's quitting the job is because he's chosahame avoid the machmas choli. He's not able to do the job because he is ill. Every situation is different. There are people that retire. Because there comes a point in time they want to retire. Some people they hate the job, they quit. Some people are fired. Some people they quit because they're sick, they just can't do the job. Every single case is a different formula. Does the person deserve, is he entitled to severance? I guess that means over here, penisa means what?
Pension.
A pension, which basically means a hanaka, me'ez hakihilo. Kasha yirtza lifresh me'avodasai, achash me'ez avodas shel chof al of shani work for 21 years. And he presented his entitled to a pension. Ve'heishiv hinei alpi dina tayra akadayashu kol poil pocket or socher, any worker that's appointed a socher in ha'im, hafsakas avodasai, ein loy al rabbi klum. May ikar hadin, you do not have the power to demand from your employer one penny. Afilu ever etzel avar etzel kol yimei chayav. V'im acha shehifsek avodasoy ein loy mamal lechiyos. Harei v'chol ani shemishol shalatziba butel leparnaso midin tzedaka. If he does not have what to survive on, then he falls into the category of an ani, and the community has an obligation to support him. Yoytzim naklal hu eved ivri. The only exception, the only technical exception to this rule that has a halachic demand to demand money is an Eved Ivri. But an Eved Ivri, as we know, does not apply to Zman Hazeh because there is no Yoivel. Yoitz min haklal hu Eved Ivri shatarit tzivso ha'anik tanik lo v'yisiro lo tishalchenu reikam. V'gam b'zeh yesh kama prati dinim k'mavur b'shas v'rambam. And even this is not so similar, many different details. Ela, shebe'sefer ha'chinuch chosaf. So now we're coming back to the sefer ha'chinuch, which is very critical, that even though technically there is no duty to give a person, obligation to give a person money, but the sefer ha'chinuch says that it's a davar pasha, that a chacham should understand what the Torah wants of you, and you should go lefnim b'shur ha'sadin, and you should provide for your employees a nice severance package. El, shefer ha'chinuch chosaf, sh'ap, zman hazeh yishmachom yosef, lakach shim sochar, b'bnei yishol, if sochar, b'bnei yishol, v'avodah, zman rubo, afilu ma'at, sh'yanik lo, kitzei so mi'imo, me'asher berchor, Hashem yisparach, v'zeh m'derech ha'musor leva, that's musa, that's only the right, the moral obligation, but it's not something which you can be tovea in court. The tzibur has a duty to keep him alive, to help him out. Let's say we have a chazan, a cantor in a synagogue, and he leaves his job. He concludes there in the rivash. Amnam yesh lechalek sharivash don rak shloi lehotzi mimenu misim. It's not a raya. The case of the rivash, if you study the tshuva, was discussing, does this person have to pay taxes? This person, when he was leaving, was a question. It's a question of him paying taxes. So then, it's proper that we do not require him to pay tax. That should be at least a severance. Uvenidoneinu, our shayl is, do we have to actually give him money? It's not a question of not taking away, deducting from his income. The question over here is to actually give him a gift. Uvenidoneinu donim im alkihila sham leimos alkein kol zet toli birois eine hadayon. Bishut Yam Hagodol Kosav Shane Divri Hachinich Bitaras Khiv Klau, we have to remember the Khiv is non Khiv, El Eitza Toiva kamash malon sheroy v'nochon linoy kein. And we come makom imi minik hamadina yesh liten pitzuyim. Kiyesh linoy kein shoy dinay schiwas pilem tulin b'minik hamadina kim revuar b'shulchan aruch chayshemishpat. Last paragraph. V'ayim v'pisli chayshen shekasav b'zmanenu nagu b'bote yadin laden b'ksas dinin monas lapin chukei hamadina. That we follow what's standard in society. Ulchu yesh laden kibitzad dinay the malchusa arav b'makom l'shlishach dinay the malchusa going beret yisrael. Sheyesh oimim shaloy oimim kein. We don't say din. We know that in Eretz Yisrael we don't say dina the malchusa dina because Eretz Yisrael is a Jewish state. So it's a Jewish state, they technically have an obligation to follow the halacha. So therefore, if it's in a non-Jewish state, they have no obligation to follow the halacha. So then we can involve the principle of dina de malchusa dina. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, then you don't always have that luxury of saying so. Because on type v'chein l'das kamach l'aynim shab dina medisim dina b'moyna shabain shabain yisrael chavero loy oimim dina de malchusa dina. Another issue, because on type when you're dealing with two Jews, dealing with a Jew and a guy, you're dealing with malchusa dina. When you're dealing with two Jews, you do not necessarily say dina malchusa dina. Yesh makom ladun al pi achoik hamishum minog, but still you should follow the custom. Mechay nohagu bate dinim shemer tishol ladun beharbe dina eschius al pi hamilik amevusos al achoik. What's established according to the law? Kigoin dinay mafteach pitzui piturim. The money of severance. Okay, so he does not really elaborate very much. Only thing I remember is we once sent an entire shiur on this. There was a fellow who put out a kuntris on exactly on this topic, a little safe from the topic of severance specifically for Rebbeim and for Rabbanim. This was a takana that Rav Moshe Feinstein enacted. Rav Moshe Feinstein on his own many, many years ago saw that there was a very desperate situation taking place in the yeshivas where Rebbeim, when they retired, and Rabbanim, when they retired, they did not have a pension, they did not have any support for their old age. And he was misakin, and it was accepted, it seems to some degree, that there is a duty for a kehila and a yeshiva to pay the rebbeim what's called chodesh lashana. For every year that a person worked for an institution, whether he was a rav in a shul or a rebbe in a yeshiva, for every year that he worked, his severance should be 1 month's salary that he's getting at that moment in time. The mother was, don't give him a salary that he got when he first started working 30 years ago. You give him, what is he getting now? What is he getting now a month, the last month of his job? How much money was he making? Take that sum, multiply it by the number of years that he served his community, his shul, his yeshiva, and it should be given to him. This was a takana that Rav Moshe Feinstein enacted, and it was to some degree it was accepted. Not everyone accepted it. And
yeshivas opt out of Social Security, which makes no sense.
It's terrible, terrible thing to do. Terrible thing to do. I know Maya Shahaya person opted out and now he has big tsars.
Happened to my grandfather. Pay him all the years in yeshiva, they never put in, and when he retired after 50 years in yeshiva, he got nothing.
Nothing.
He didn't know it.
He didn't even know.
He filed for Social Security and he ended up getting nothing.
Because they didn't put anything away for him. Terrible, terrible thing. I know a story the other way around where a person he worked for an electronics company. Maybe it was not a person, a horrible a person he worked, and the boss basically said to him, no, we're not putting this on record that we're giving you, and we're not putting away money for you for Social Security. So he, behind the scenes, without telling his employer, did it anyway. Because he was the accountant, he was the controller, he did it anyway, and he went without the knowledge of his employer. He basically filed all the documents that he's working here, and the money is being put away for Social Security. What?
Usually they'll come after him.
Okay, whatever they did. And then he retired after many years, and the employer was shocked. The employer was shocked to realize that this fellow who was working was illegally filing all the real documents.
Illegally?
Well, he told him not to do it. So he was channeling money. The owner of this business obviously was not very knowledgeable. He just wanted to know how much money is coming in, how much money is going out. He was not very good in accounting. The owner of the business. The owner of the business was not very good with numbers. And this fellow was his accountant, and he basically handled all of the finances. And he didn't really have a real grasp on what was going on. And he basically, when they studied, he had a big fight with him. He says, "No, I don't care. I don't want to take some of your salary. I don't want to pay the government. It's too bad. There's not going to be any social credit for you, and you should take care of yourself because I'm not going to follow." No, this is a profit.
I don't think it's legal.
It's not legal. This is years ago. This is not legal.
It's illegal.
But he did it anyway. He did it only because he was frightened of what's going to be when he retires. And now he is so happy that he did this because now he has a pension. What?
I'm not talking about the employer. The employer, if he's a profit, he can't not pay Social Security.
There's a lot of shenanigans that will go get.
We know it's
just as the opposite. Okay, let's go back to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was very. Rav Moshe made this takana called Chodesh Lashana, and unfortunately today it is not enforced, and there are a lot of institutions that are releasing Rebbeim, and they're not giving them Chodesh Lashana, and there are shuls also. There are a lot of shuls. I hear this. A lot of shuls. I even spoke to someone about this. Spoke to one of the big executives, and one of these. He says, it's a very interesting takana. Rav Moshe, you should be aware of. Rav Moshe made that a yeshiva and a rebbe, a yeshiva and a rav. A clay kodesh is entitled to chodesh lashana. And then there's a question: what about the people who work in the administration? People who are not the clay kodesh. What about a secretary? Is a secretary who's also part of Moshe's takana, which was accepted? What about an administrator, a fundraiser? All of these people, are they also included?
No. Yesh v'yesh. The problem is not even with the retirement.
It's only clay kodesh.
The red piece is away.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. So that's another very big issue. So there's a big. So there's a shot. Let's say
kids and there's nothing coming.
Let's say all the children are married. Let's say all the children are married. I heard from a rabbi, even if all the children are married, and the person dies, he says is a davar pasha that's part of a Moshe's takana who's accepted, especially by the Zee. It's one thing you want to talk about a shtibel. I want to go talk about a little shtibel somewhere or a little private institution, but a national organization. I suppose that the nationalization is mechuyev to follow the full letter of the law of Moshe. Like, example, an OU shul. A shul that's part of the umbrella of the OU. The OU has a league of shuls. National Council of Young Israel. The National Council of Young Israel. Any major institution in America that has branches, so I spoke to this Rav, this is a davar pashut that it was accepted. It was accepted years ago, and none of these American organizations have a right now to say, we don't have money. We don't have money to pay Chodesh Lashana. If you don't have money, so you should make a plan. You'll pay it out over time. There's no excuse not to pay a national. You want to go tell me about a little shtiebel somewhere, so maybe they'll say that...
A little shtiebel is a private...
Let's say you talk about like a very small, but a national organization. The two examples he gave me was the OU. And the National Council of Young Israel, or let's say a Torah Mesorah, a yeshiva that's part of the umbrella of Torah Mesorah. Okay, many yeshivas are members. Are you a member, a paying, or RCA?
It's a loose affiliation.
It's a loose, but there are some strong members. There are, I don't know all the guidelines, I'm not in the business, but there are definitely institutions that are part of a national organization. And these national organizations have a duty to follow. And the one that today that is very strong, that really took over Rav Moshe, is Rav Avraham Chaim Levine in Chicago. Tells. He is in the news. If you ever see the one, if you ever hear about Chodesh Lashana, you'll always see Rav Avraham Chaim Levine's name connected to advocating on behalf of Mechanchim that they should receive Chodesh Lashana. No, I'm not related to him. I'm not related.
right when I started, they fired the chazan, and he wanted to go to Bezdin. For them, he was taking off a whole summer all the time, and when there was a new administration at that time, they said he's only entitled to 1 month. That's what it says in the contract. But he says, but they're giving me for 10 years. They're giving me, but Bezdin gave him a year's severance pay. Because he
1 year.
12 years.
Chodesh Lashana.
Right.
They gave him Chodesh Lashana. Okay, so this is something that is...
Do you agree to that?
Yes. RCA... There is a sefer which has once spent time on it. That goes through all of the issues, and it seems that it was accepted. It was accepted years ago. It was done. And today, unfortunately, there are organizations which are trying to get out of it, and it was already done. Since already it was done, it was one thing you make a gzera, the ain reiv atzibu yecholim la'amid boy. People don't accept it. And Moshe did this who knows how many years ago, and they did it. People listened, they followed it. It was accepted, it was done by the major institutions. So you can't go backtrack now and just decide now that you're not going to do this anymore. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Ho'im bas ho'im yireshes es ovia hagoy. Okay, Geirus, Shail of Geirus, we once discussed this not so long ago, something very similar. A guy inherits his father, two non-Jews. We have two non-Jews, the father dies, min hatoira, his assets go down to the son, not to the state. Not to the state. Pasuk Rambam, Hagoy Yoresh is other than a Torah. I will show you. It's Pasuk Latora Ki Yerusha Nasat LeEis Esav is a Goy. Nasati Sarei. It says with Yerusha regard to Esav. Now the Rambam paskins Hagoy Yoresh is other than a Torah. I will show you Yerusha Sehen Menichin Oysel Lefi Min Hagam Ayin Sham. But other relatives, a mother, a brother, a son, that is not a din Torah. That is only whatever the custom is. Now you leave it to the Minhag HaMedina.
Tell that a goy should do it. I mean, we don't have to.
The question over here is it gezelakum? Let's say a person dies. He has no children. Let's say a person dies and he has children, and a Jew comes along and takes the assets. The children don't know about it. The children live in another country. They do not know that their father died, and a Jew comes along and takes all the assets. He just stones watching, so he takes it. Is that an iser de oirais of gezel akum? Are you chayv? There's something called gezel akum. You're not allowed to steal from a guy. Gezel akum is also. So are you in violation? So if there is something in the Torah called Yerusha, Ki Yerusha le'es of the Satyas Har Seir, it's an Isser derais of gezel akum. But if there is no din Yerusha, it's really hefker. Okay, so you're going to say that the Medina comes along and they take the money, they give the money, so then what can you possibly do? In this case, no one's watching, they would not be. So he's telling us that minat Torah, the money goes to Yerusha to the child on the other end of the world, and if we're a Jew to take away the money, it would be an Isser derais of gezel akum. But let's say the person dies and he does not have children, and now who gets the money? So he's saying, and in this instance, you follow the minig of the Medina. The minig of the Medina is, in some countries, if there are children, it goes to the state. And some countries it goes to the brother, and some countries it goes to, I don't know, a cousin. Every country has a different set of rules of how. So the Rambam says that also is the law. Manichin oisan lefi min hagam ayin sham. What the details are, I do not know. Period. Now, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Pchein pasak atur ba Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam shago yerush esavim devar Torah ayin sham. Uv meiri besugim kasav shadin zeh shago yerush esavim oimer af begoy shehu oivet avod azar ba luzer lidim. It applies even to a guy that worships idols. We're not just dealing with a nice guy who's a chef of mitzvahs nina. We're dealing with a kofer, a person which doesn't make a difference. It's gezelakum. Even a nation that's not civilized. Shabbas, here's the point that we need our topic. Shabbas Hagoy, Yoyreshes Esavia. Even a daughter inherits, if the father dies and does not leave over sons, only daughters she inherits. Bimokoim She'ein Bain. The Havi Lze Ra'aya Mima Shemotza Besugyan Now Sugya, what's the Ra'aya? Hanirtsa Vanimka Lev Guchavim Ein Oveloya Sabin Vloya Shabbas. Okay, so the Ra'aya over here is what happens if the master dies? So the Mishnah makes a point in telling us, I think it's the Mishnah, is it right? Is it a Mishnah? Is it in the Golan of the Gemara? I don't remember. But it says that if the master dies, the child, the slave, does not work for the son. And it does not work for the daughter. Why is it, goes free, why does it need to say the daughter? Why the daughter? Because you would think that it's a din Yerusha. And in a din Yerusha, a daughter, minat Torah, is equal to a son. Nimkar, we're dealing over here, we're dealing with, now this case, going with Nimkar, la'ako minayin, how do you know when you sold to a guy? We're dealing with when a person is sold to a guy. Sh'amar chizke, amakra, v'chishav im koineyu, v'lo, how do you know this? Im koineyu, v'lo miyorshei koineyu, mechlal v'islu yorshim, adkan. Harim afur shabraisa, sh'nimka la'akum, eino evin lo bas ha'akum, yishodichse v'chishav, only because it's a gzeres ha'kosef. But if not for this gzeres ha'kosef, you would work for the daughter. V'chishav im koineyu, v'lo im yorshei koineyu, ma shabuchol mokum bas goyo yoreshes, that a daughter yoreshes, he kiden, shim loikesh, im loikesh, Shita shenim kar la'akum ein oved esabas would not work for the daughter. Kevon she'ena bas yivush el vaday mizem muchach shebas la'akum yereshes esavia dvar Torah ayin shon. Okay. Oid kasaf. Okay. Then he goes further. B'shut pri Yitzchak, lod b'mokim sheyesh l'goy ben ubas. Let's make things more complicated. Let's say a person dies, and he leaves over his son and a daughter. Who imam rin do we say shah ben koydim l'bas v'yerish l'vad k'mav yishol o yishol shnei m'shav v'cholkim b'yirusha k'echad. They're not coming to ask us. Okay, they're definitely not coming to ask us. But lu yitzu, theoretically, if a non-Jew would come and say, what does the Torah say about Yerusha for us? We are non-Jews. The father has died. He has left over a son and a daughter. We know that Jewish law is of the opinion that b'makom sheyesh ben ein lebas klum. The daughter gets zero when there is a son. What does the Jewish law tell us about non-Jews? So he brings a sefer min chadasha kasav shirashi soyser asma b'din zeh. There is a contradiction in Rashi to answer this question. On the one hand, Biyavamis, Mavur She'ein HaBen Koidim Labas Begoy, Ushneim Yorshe Meshove. Rashi says clearly in Yavamis that there's no such difference between a son and a daughter by a non-Jew. They divide the estate 50-50. However, Omnam Rashi Alatar B'Parshas Vayetze, the Pasik, Ha'od Lanu Chelik V'Nachla B'Veis Avinu, Lavan's two daughters, Rachel and Leah, they said to Yaakov, Yaakov, you want to leave? We're with you. What do we have from this? What do we have from our father, Lavan? Do we have a Yerusha? Perish Rashi, Klum, Anu, Niyachalois, Lirash, Benichse Avinu, Klum, Ben Hazuchorim. So from Rashi and Parshas Vayetze, it implies that since Lavan is a non-Jew, so among non-Jews, girls also get nothing. They get zero. Right. So therefore, there's nothing left for us.
In the 20th century in England, that's the way it was in the 20th century. Until not long ago, the girls get nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Until when in the 20th century? Shocking.
At least till World War II.
Till Queen Elizabeth became.
Wow. Well, such a little...
Not only that, but it went to the nearest relative. That was a male child.
Amazing. So we have here a contradiction in Rashi as to the halacha of Yerusha by a non-Jew. Amar Minchas Chinuch Katzav, the Minchas Chinuch writes, Sheze Poshut. Zepashul gam kein diyoshes aviv diyoreshes aviv shu min hatoro lav davka beben elafil bas mokem ben yoreshes beshava ki zesh ben levado yoresh le bas mokem ben zehu mi seder nachlesh shebetoshim li yisrael avul etzel gol shle nemer parsha zo ben ubas yoreshes beshava vechin de minchas chinuch is of the opinion that it is a davar poshut that by a non-Jew the son and the daughter inherit equally. Only by Klal Yisrael is there a halacha b'vakam sheyesh ben ein lebas klum, but by non-Jews it is a davar poshut. Women are 50-50 partners. You see, Torah is very liberal, very liberal when it comes to women's rights.
That's part of the reason why your son inherits. There's no reason why.
Maybe there's no simple reason. I'm sure if you look at the Mefarshim, you'll find reasons. You'll probably find reasons, but it's that's what it is. It's tough to swallow. It's the source. It's the source of family feuds, of wars, of big machlokes when it comes to Yerusha among families. Let's say a person dies and he leaves over a very significant amount of money, and there are some daughters in the family that are very poor, and there's one son, and it's not uncommon, it's not unheard of, especially in Hasidish circles, where the son says, "I'm the Yerush. It's too bad for my sisters. I don't care. They have 20 children. They have 10 children. They have to marry off all the children. I'm the son." The Torah says, "The Malkum Sheyesh Ben Ein Labas Klum." It's Ma'asim B'chol Yom, and it's a big machlokes. It's a big source of contention. Mm-hmm. But that's the halacha.
Well, you said the state is that the Gemara disagrees with it for a minute.
Well, what are you saying? The state. What?
The estate has to maintain the daughters if they're not married.
If they're not married,
yeah.
But let's say they are married. Let's say they are married. So I've heard stories like this. My father was once involved in a din Torah. My father was in the RCA Besdin. So every so often, my father was called upon to participate. And I remember one case he spent a lot of time on was a case like this, where there was a Yerusha, and there was a son and there were daughters, and the son basically said, "Too bad for the daughters. They don't get nothing." And obviously the father should be wise ahead and plan a living will.
But that's why I think it should be in the Bava Basra, because you have, let's say if you had five kids and one got married, when they divide up the Yerusha, the girls have a right to say, if you spend 20 grand on this wedding...
Okay, that's another thing. Yeah, right, okay.
Before so, you divide up...
But that's for their own marriage. Okay, right. That is correct. That's a Perush Gemara. That's a Perush Gemara. Okay, but let's say we're talking in the case where the person living over millions of dollars. Okay, so the wedding is going to cost what? $25,000, $50,000, $50,000, make believe. Okay, and they're all married anyway. The girls are married anyway, and doesn't apply to the grandchildren. Doesn't apply to the grandchildren. So this I remember this is a very ugly mice. And these
if a person had a will, does that supersede?
So a living will. You have to have a kosher will, the living will. And it's and today it's a big deal. It's a big business to go to a Jewish lawyer and have them properly fill out a halachic living will. The Aguda has one. The RCA has one. I'm sure you'll find another 10 versions of a living will. Every business living will. It's a big business. Business, to have the living will filled out kedasu chadin, but let's say a person doesn't do it and he just whatever the situation is, it can get very ugly. Also pishnayim, and that's another issue. It's the bukhar gets pishnayim. So should the bukhar feel entitled to take pishnayim at the expense of his siblings when there's not that much money to go around? These are all very tough dilemmas.
State, what happens? The state has laws about this. Half goes to the wife. I think there's no will. I think half goes to the wife.
Yeah. Right.
And the rest goes to the
I don't know the answer. I'm not familiar with all the laws, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. I don't know the answer. I remember I once went to Beis Avel, and it was talk of, it was very chush of a family, and the person there, I thought it was very bizarre, but he was bragging. It was a big family, a lot of siblings, and he was bragging. He says, "Here, Baruch Hashem, there's no machlekes among all of the children. There's no machlekes whatsoever, because our father did not leave over one penny." What?
How about that? Father left.
He didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about that.
You don't pay.
Okay.
So if the wife is living in the Zipkar, up here, Tyra, the bechor gets everything, and you say, "Mom, you're out."
That's right. About Pitara, if the wife is living in the Zibachar, the bechor gets Pishnayim. Everything gets everything. And the bechor has to support, just has to give maintenance to the wife.
Really?
Rent, board,
to the mother.
What, and that could be a lot of money. How much does it cost to live today?
How many mothers would submit to that?
What?
How many
zero.
Would submit to
zero. Big zero. Okay, so what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what people do halacha nice, it's two very different things.
Your wife's name?
What?
put everything in your wife's name before
you die. Yeah, that's what you can do. In a chanami, you can do that. That's right. That's right. You can do that. But sometimes, you can't generalize. These are all. What's the joke? Someone here told me a joke that when the person gets married and the person dies, they ask the same three questions. The first question is, how old was he?
No, by a...
How old? What?
By a shidduch and by a...
By a shidduch and by a...
Four kashas,
yeah. What are the four kashas? Number one, how old is he? Yeah, okay.
How much money did he leave over?
How much money did he get?
Sorry. How long did he mitzvah?
How long did he mitzvah? Okay.
How long did the chassan kala know each other? How much money did he leave over?
Did he get? How much money did he get? Right.
Yeah. So, the fourth one is, are they taking him to Eretz Yisrael?
That's a new one. Are they taking him to Eretz Yisrael? It's a joke. Four kashas. When the chassan kala?
By a shidduch and by a levaya. The same four questions are answered. Wie alt ist er gewesen? Wie lange hat er sich gemischt? Wie viel Geld? In man nennt den Kanäle, sie so.
Who's the Baal Masper?
Okay, let's continue. The chain costs off a rashash besugi in the last paragraph. Shabakum ein kedima ben labas birusha v'chosav lechich kemi divri harambam hanal shakosav shabashor yirusha sehen manichin oisam lefi min hagam. V'hain lokifin shenis chadesh batar shaben kadim labas ein kem lefi min hagam. Period. V'oidayim b'shut har tzvi shakosav shagoy yorish gam es imoy dvartar v'loy rak aviv. So basically, the common denominator of all these paiskim is that when it comes to a guy, pretty much, even though we have a student Rashi, but it pretty much comes to a guy, the rules are different than Jews. A daughter is an equal partner with the son in yarshining the estate. Only by Jews we have this principle of Mamakim Shiash Ben Ein Labaskulam. Let's just maybe do part of the next one. I don't know if we have time to do the entire thing. Yerusha Shar Kroiv Megoy, with continuation. For some reason, this is very familiar. I'm wondering if we had this as a copy, if we had exactly this thing in a different Masechta. They just copied this from a different Masechta. This just sounds too familiar. We did this once, exact thing before. Kosav is in Kiddushin, so.
Right.
But it could be they just copied the same thing from a different Masechta and they put it here. Kosav Hami'iri Bistugin. Ksubis, the same exact thing. Kosav Hami'iri Bistugin Hagoi Afopi Shechu Oivikachav Mazolus Harik Bichlal Yerusha Shalter Vyarish Asav Vishar Murishav. We just learned that. The Adam, we did not say Shia Kol Machsik Bechem Zech Bechem, as we said before. We did not let anyone who take the money. There's a din Yerusha Minatar Bayan Anju. Umavur Bidimidvar Shah. Af kishein legoy bonim v'nachalosoy oiveres liecho liacher kigoyin liachiv oy laviv harei av zo Yerusha gemura hi devar Torah kamo biaviv. The laws of Yerusha apply min haTorah even if a person dies without children. Omnam harambam kosav akum yoresh es aviv devar Torah avol shor you. So that's what the Meiri says. Okay, so the Meiri is explicit that there is a din Yerusha min haTorah even when there are no children. But the Rambam, as we mentioned above, does not say this. The Rambam says only when it comes to a child. When it comes to other relatives, then it's only a minhag. We follow their minhag. The Rambam calls of Akam Yerish is of the Torah. I will show Yerusha Sehen. Menichim some lefi minhagam. The cause of Hamagid Mishnah. The cause of Rabbeinu Shashar Yerusha Sehen. Menichim some lefi minhagam. Who be mnei shalom otzim shayes seder nachlos elulis shalolat. It's only mid rabbanon. Today. Hamin chaschinach kosav al divrei hamagid mishnah shemavur bidvodav shirak Yerusha so'av hu etzel goy min hatar, only a father. Avol shor Yerushos kegoyin av es haben oy achim uchidoyme einam yorshim klal min hatar v'kosav she'einam mevin. He does not understand siyum divrei harambam. He does not understand siyum harambam shor Yerushos manich mosum kimin hagam le'ezet soich kosav zeh. Why did he have to write that? The ha'ayil alichl of shirak zehu min hatar. But afkamina sheyorish hu ve'asul ligzol mimenu avul im leben she'ein lo yorish min haTorah havelu nuchas of hefker, like we discussed. Can you say agoy? Pri masik sham shekashein ben sheyoy liyorisho ein noyhagim bo yishor seder nachles unuchas of him hefker v'chol hakoydim bo zocha. So he's asking a question: why did the Ram have to conclude with this thing, with leave according to the minhagim? Since over here there is no yusha min haTorah, if there is no one to yar, and should be hefker, and whoever wants should be able to take the money for free. Omdam b'shut mincha shloimo kosav shlodas haRambam af begoy. So he says the fact that the Rambam did not conclude that it's hefker, it must be that the Rambam really is of the opinion af begoy shol hayirushos shem midaraisa. Other yirushos are also midaraisa. Ella the only hanaf kamina ben yirushas ben l'shon yirushos hu shirak nachlas ben nitna lohem min haTorah. The chol shor ho enushay shlohem other relatives yochol afkia nachla zo min haben. The ain, sorry, the ain shor ha'anushe shalohem, their other relatives cannot, do not have the power to take it away. Aval, biyachas l'shor yorshim, zelohem koyach l'hachlit, they have a power to make a decision. Sha'ach koydim la'av, that a brother comes before a father, the zed din ha'yirusha shalohem, v'aseh din achla shalohem, u'mishtane alpi dinehem, aval gam yirusha shor kroivim shal goy hu midaraisa. So he seems to want to say, just a very superficial reading of what it says over here, is that when it comes to a son, the father does not have the power, it seems. It seems to be saying that the Rambam holds that when a father dies, unless he gives it away b'matan in his lifetime, a father does not have the power to decide that someone other than his son should inherit his assets. A guy dies, automatically the money goes b'yerusha to the son, even if the father writes a will. That's what he seems to be saying. If a non-Jew, he writes in his will, I want all of my money to go to my brother, I want it to go to my wife, I want it to go to who knows who, to the President of the United States, and none of my children should get the money, it seems that his will is meaningless. Because the Torah says the money of a non-Jew goes to the son. That's Zehu. But if there is no son, and the father, the person who's dying, wants to direct, wants to decide which one of his relatives should get the Yerusha, that is where a non-Jew has power, has shlita, to make a decision. But in both cases, the Yerusha is deraisa. When the person dies, the money is transferred according to the Torah law to another individual, and no one has the right to come along and take the money without permission. That's what he seems to be saying. The oid ayin the koyveitz shiurim, Rabbi Chanan shehevi mekar l'divrei haRambam shebeshar hamarishim holchem lefi minhagam ve'enoi keseder shel Yisrael ve'yod echazinan shav ma'amar ve'hinei ven beisi yorei shoisi. So here's an amazing yisoid. Eliezer v'haynu sheliezer yorish af shohoya es hoy es lot ben achiv. Even though Avram had a blood relative, he had a nephew. Avraham's closest of kin was Lot, his brother's son.
Lot had left him.
So what? Doesn't matter. You get a call across seas that you got a Yerusha.
Could be that Lot was considered a Yehudi, and the Yerusha goes to the Ger who dies without.
It's before Matan Torah. They're all considered to be non-Jews, Bnei Noach. So yet, it says over here that Avraham made a decision that he wants that Eliezer should be his Yerush, because he trusted Eliezer more than he trusted Lot. The Zemekar L'Divrei HaRambam, so here we have a Makar for the Rambam, when you don't have a son, then the father has the power to decide who gets the Yerusha. The Zemekar L'Divrei HaRambam, Sha'achvei HaBen HaKol Hu Kimin Hogam Mi HaYerush Ayin Sham. Okay, let's know. We'll try to finish it very quickly. Another story. We definitely did this before. Remember this. He gave a pesel of the zara to as a mashkin. The guy died. And he told him to go chop off the finger in order to be mevatel of the zara because he wants to keep it. The maisa was the guy died, and the guy left the Yerusha an idol, and the idol was a mashkin in the possession of a Jew. So the Jew went to the son, and he went to another guy in order that another guy should be mevatel the avodah zara. And came Yesham sheYehudi zocher lo miyad kishemes agoy umeila havei avodah zara shel Yisrael. The problem is why the moment that the guy dies, the amount becomes the property, the chutz of the Jew acquires it. So once it becomes the property of a Jew, it's impossible to be mevatel avodah zarah that is owned by a Jew. The cost of sham hachasam sefer zal hinei lechur yesh lo denim yesh liyitzol shum zechus minuchasim shalom klal. So the chasam says, well, not so fast. Not so fast that the Jew becomes the property. When the guy dies, his assets go be Yerusha. If he doesn't have a son, so it goes to his brother, it goes to his wife, it goes to someone. The Chassam Sefer says, like what we just concluded, even though there is no something called Makom, Ein Adam Sheilo Yershim. The Mash Amru Chazal, Rapapa, Reish Perik Yeshnech, when it says in Perik Yeshnech in Baba Basra, the Chen Yeshluch, the Chi Yesh Adam the Yisrael, Sheilo Goyalim, Lav Davk Adam the Yisrael, Elo Kolodom Yolam Yafuke Ger. The only one that does not have any relatives is a Ger. But everyone else in this world has relatives. And that is why there is a possibility for the Jew to now take this idol that he does not own and have it nullified, so he can collect his choiv. So it comes out that we see from the Chassam Sofer's psak halacha, even when a guy dies, if he does not have a son, it doesn't matter. The money goes be Yerusha to his closest relative min haTorah. And the last is achen. Not everyone agrees to the Chassam Sofer. What we learn above the Barsham. You sold your chametz to a goy. Kidin. The goy died. So what are you going to do now? Va'avar haPesach, ma din haChametz hazesh im yesh leben haben harehu yorsha lo dvar Torah. If the guy has a son, so the son yarshins. V'im hin haChametz adayin shel goy avol kishlochi nichbanim kishnuchasim hefker. But let's say the guy who you sold the chametz to does not have children. Did you see the picture online, Eretz Yisrael, who they sold the chametz to? Did you see fascinating picture? There was a picture.
Ger.
They showed a picture of one of the Haredi Rabbanim selling chametz to a guy. He was wearing, had a beard, he had a nice big black hat, he was wearing a frock, a white shirt and a tie. He looked like out of brisk, out of kolol chazoinish. A guy, he looked like Haredi. Are you talking? This is the guy? Yeah, he was a ger in training.
A breath of a chosek.
He was a ger in training. He did not yet receive his sir. So what better guy can you possibly have?
Ger in training, I get the comments.
Can you imagine? So he sold the picture. Okay, right. The last paragraph over here. So deeply he died. Sheim yesh leben haru yosh alav v'divar Torah avim get a chametz adayin shlo goy ba'avol kishlo yinich banim kishnachzom hefker ma'yeh chametz azev v'kos l'tavol. So the ma'is ha'shahoy was the goy died and the goy did not have any sons. So where does the chametz go? So how are you going to buy it back from? How are you going to reacquire the chametz? Because the fable shomesh imzocha itchol b'chametz hazeh kevin sheyeshlam shalom chazah chametz l'rishus pesach el l'misha hefker. So here's the problem: this is a very big problem, because where is the chametz being stored over Pesach? In the home of the Jews, right? You have in your closet, top shelf, you have liquor worth $5,000, whatever you got in there. You have stocks.
Don't you rent them the makom where the chametz is?
Oh, so but now the guy died. So when the guy died, so now who owns the who have you rented it to? The renter no longer exists. So if there is a son, so automatically the son of the guy takes over rental, takes over ownership. But there is no son. So there is no son, it's hefker. It's hefker. In whose house is the chametz? It's in my house. So I have basically, I have, without even realizing it, acquired chametz, reacquired chametz on Pesach. And now when Pesach is over, it's chametz she'ovar olav ha-Pesach.
Do you really require it? It's chatzah she'ovar shemesh. He doesn't want it.
Oh, so that's going to be the answer. But that's the end. That's the dilemma. Do we say it's in your house though? It's in your rishus, and it's in your rishus. Pashas, it's in your chatzar. The guy's lease has expired, dissipated because the guy died. So how then do we acquire it? So kevin shechatzar shechametz v'chayi bad nisha hefker. I'm kidding. I dain lezocha bayis. So we want to go say no. You don't want to acquire just because the guy's connection is dissipated. I don't want to acquire it. I know what's Pesach. Who says he can even acquire? I don't want to acquire it. Mail it's not going to chometz she'ovar lova Pesach. But what do we deduce from the Marsham? What's the Shail? The Shail doesn't begin according to the Chassam Sofer, because according to the Chassam Sofer, just because the guy does not have a son, the guy has another relative. He has a nephew. He has a grandchild. He has a brother. He has a sister. He has a mother, father. Someone's going to yarshu min haTorah. Obviously, the Marsham, by saying that this is a real big problem that the Jew is reacquiring without his knowledge, is because the Marsham holds that if there is no son, then there is no Yerusha for a goy min haTorah. It's mamish hefker. It's mamish hefker. You got a problem of chametz of a lava pesach when the chametz being stored in your home. Obviously, it's a shula the Marsham. Shirak haben hu ish yerusha son of a goy min haTorah. I will show yoshim enim yoshim or so the ein loy ben and the chas of hefker. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a short break. It's not a problem.
The rabbi would have to go track down the relative?
Yes. The rabbi would have to track down the next closest relative.
And what happens in the interim? You're talking about you first have to be able to do it after Pesach. You have to wait.
There are many poskim that are matter to be nene from the chametz the moment Pesach is over, even before the guy buys back the chametz.
Really?
Yes. Because the guy only gave a down payment. He only gave a down payment, so whatever you eat, whatever you're going to consume, will not be part of what you owe him.
But you don't you have to go back to the guy and say, look.
Yeah, lechatchila you should. Lechatchila you should. So many rabbanim they announce, don't use the chametz, wait an hour until they finish buying it back. Say it again? Well, you don't have to throw out the dishes. You don't sell the dishes. The dishes, the blias, you don't have to sell the dishes. You don't sell the dishes to a guy.
He said, that's all he does. Sell the dishes?
No, you don't sell the dishes.
In his house.
You do not
gain nothing.
You do not sell dishes to a guy. If you sell dishes to a guy, then you have to be told with them. You don't sell dishes. You're mafia. The blias, you're mafia.
The blias. All you do is you have the food.
Only food. If you only have dishes, you do not sell dishes.
Really?
You not some, no, you don't
only
sell dishes.
Nobody keeps food, though.
Some people today, they don't keep any chametz. They don't have any chametz. So you don't have to sell. Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. We have a few minutes.